It's the 15th of February.
This is the first interview for Chester Hope Farms, Miss Fernie.
And I'm at the home of Mervyn and Gladys McGavin.
Glenis.
Mervyn worked for Miss Fernie for 40 plus years.
Good morning, Mervyn. Good morning, Glenis.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ross.
Good morning.
Mervyn, I'd just like to welcome you and say thank you very much for allowing the Knowledge Bank to get your history and Chester Hope Station. So would you just like to start telling us your life story?
I started work pretty early, leaving school.
Do you want me to start?
Yes.
Okay, well, Mervyn was born in Methven in 1936, and his family came to Hastings when he was about 2 years old. He went to Central School, and he went to the Boys High School. And when he was 15, he left school and he went to work out at Gilbert McGuinness's farm at O'Hara Station. After that, he worked for Stan and Ralph Wormsley for a few years, driving D4 Caterpillar tractors, doing agricultural work. And in 1959, he went to work at Chester Hope Station.
And then?
Yes, it was Gilbert McGuinness that owned the farm, and his wife and his daughter. Well, I was with Gilbert for 4 years, and it was a great job because Gilbert left me on property by myself running the place while they were away on holiday. And Gilbert's mother and husband, they were senior people and they looked after me. I stopped in the wool shed, and I remember this horse that I was leading, and I tell you, it was pretty fast. But anyway, I managed it in the end, and it was a great experience because I'd sort of just come out of, yes, it was sort of straight from school.
What size farm was it that you were on? Was it cattle or sheep or?
It was a mixed farm, and it was a small property,
right?
Because
what, 1,000 acres?
Yes, well,
or more?
No, it would be that, because it was the O'Hara Station, and it was split in two. O'Hara Station had a property, because Gilbert was a stock agent, and he was moving around all the time.
He was a stock agent for who?
For himself, yeah. But you know, it was the first time that I was left, because I'd only left school, and here I was looking after this property. In those days, I remember this tractor that I had, and it had the big disc, and at the back it pulled round this big roller we used it to squash the
gorse, would it be?
Well, it was, yes.
Covered in gorse and shrubbery and...
Yeah, and I remember Gilbert McGuinness's mother, she sort of cooked food and that for me at night. And then after I had that tea, then I would go and live in the wool shed. No, it was a great time to live with this.
So how long were you there on this farm?
Till I met Nice Glenis.
No, you went there when I met you.
No, but afterwards I left there, didn't I?
Was this at the local dance? All the girls lined up on one side and the boys on the other side, and you just picked out the best.
No. Well, the place where you had to get from O'Hara Station and to
Hastings.
But the O'Hara place was right in, well, in the hills, well, in the back.
This is near Kerru?
Yes.
Done. And there was no power or anything up there?
No.
No, but you had the old lantern, didn't you?
Yes, it was. And that's when Gilbert left his mother and...
Now, O'Hara is spelt...
O-K. capital H, I think it was. Like O, capital H. O'Hara. I think that's how I've seen it spelled. Anyway, that's way, way, way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were in the Wop Wops, really.
Yes.
What do you remember about Chesterhope?
It was a lovely place, and Miss Fernie was a wonderful lady, very honest and a very hard worker.
We got married on the 30th of January 1960 at St Andrew's Church, which was the old wooden building, and the minister was the Reverend Mitchell in those days, Alex Mitchell. And it was a hot, hot day, boiling hot day. Mervyn's best man was his brother Ralph and Bob Robert Laidlaw, who now still lives in Taupo. Ralph's passed away. My bridesmaids were a cousin called Beryl Kelnan and Jill Whittington, who got married to Mervyn's brother Ralph. And I had a young cousin called Ruth Parkinson, who now lives in Wellington. Beryl and Jill are both passed away. And then we had a reception, I think it was called the Glen Kay Tea Rooms in Heratonga Street. And that's about it, I think. So Mervyn knew Mr. Eric Batson, who was an agricultural man. And somewhere along the line, he was talking to Mervyn and said that there was a job going at Chesterhope and he should go and talk to Mrs. Fernie about it. And he said, don't listen to what other people say. You go and, you know, see how you get on with them. And he made a comment about shutting the gate, didn't he? What was that?
Yes, it was go and look at the job for yourself. The gate swings, so if you don't like the job, go through the gate and keep going.
So Mervyn went to Chesterhope in 1959, and then we got married in 1960 and we went to live on the property.
Happily married.
Oh, we have our ups and downs.
Which house did you live in then?
We lived in the one before the bridge.
Your daughter's there now?
Yeah.
That's where Rex lived, Rex and Faye.
Yes, they did. I think they moved in after we moved out. Oh, maybe not. Wasn't long behind us leaving.
When you were at O'Hara Station, did you do your killing meat and what have you?
Yes. Well, it was just out in the paddock, but there was sort of O'Hara Station and Gilbert. They had gone for their holiday and I didn't bother.
Well, you were the boss.
But the cattle lived on the grass and that.
Did you show the cattle at shows or anything like that in those days?
No, it was sort of really in the back block.
You didn't have a prize bull or anything?
No.
Miss Fernie gave a cattle beast to the local show every year for a guessing competition.
In the aid of donation, guessed its weight, and the nearest person won some sort of prize. The beast was butchered and the proceeds went to the A&P Society.
I think they still have it. Did you have dogs? You just did the farming yourself?
Yes.
And I suppose the sheep knew you anyway, but like an old fellow of mine used to walk in front of them and they all followed him. The Pied Piper.
No, the animals got used here and there's no problem.
But you had horses, didn't you? You rode horses.
They were very good.
Well, horses are better than motorbikes and what have you.
Oh, easier to start.
The job easier.
Isn't it terrible? There's so many things and you can't even get your head.
Well, it doesn't matter at this stage. You will start thinking. It'll all come to you and just come in and we'll just add to it.
There's little stories like driving the sheep to the works. They used to set off at daylight with the sheep to go to the freezing works. They were on horses and the sheep had to walk. Nowadays, you're not allowed to do that. But he has little stories, if he can remember them, of people on the road. Do you remember the story about those guys that were...
Oh, yeah.
In the car.
Yeah.
The horse jumped up. Tell them that's a good one.
Yeah, well, these stock agents, they...
They've been to a football match, haven't they?
Yes, it was held here at Clive Way. Yes, and anyway, they lost the game, and they're in this flash car, these five stock agents in this one. But they were that brassed off that they had lost the game, and Miss Fernie was taking the lead of the stock, and when you were shifting stock, she would always go in front of the cattle, and these boys were stock agents. I think they had so much drink they couldn't control themselves. And Miss Fernie yelled out, get back, because they were crossing the bridge that's there now.
The old bridge.
The old bridge, yeah. And anyway, these stock agents weren't taking any notice of Miss Fernie, and it was fairly early in the morning when we were getting the stock over the bridge. And these stock agents were that full of beer and brassed off, they had lost the game. And Miss Fernie had this horse, and it would just rear up, and I can still see the horse rearing up and going straight on the car. It was Joan's horse. It was very good like that. Miss Fernie would have sort of let it go straight on the roof of the car. Yes.
It was a big stallion, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, Miss Fernie used to run the stallion, but I can still see these stock agents. They were going to take no notice of Miss Fernie, but Miss Fernie was very strong. If she said something, that's it. Yes.
You had to drive?
Take cattle from the farm, from Parkaway, right here.
I was thinking O'Hara Station. Did they do that, though? Take the cattle from O'Hara to the works?
I wouldn't have a clue.
No, because Gilbert, he was a stock agent. He just bought stock. But Miss Fernie was like that. She was very good with stock, and she never hesitated. If she seen you doing something wrong with the stock, she would let you know. But she was a very hard worker. Like when we were dagging sheep in the morning, we'd start some mornings early at 6:30, and Miss Fernie was there, a smallish lady. But she would be there all day with a pair of old secateurs and handle those sheep all day. She never used to bring a smoke over that, but I wanted a drink. I sort of got Miss Fernie, here's a drink, Miss Fernie. And after that, I took the smoke, didn't I?
I think so.
But Miss Fernie, she was a terrific lady, very hard worker. But she expected you to do it too. We started on this line of stock they were used, and the stock agent come up and started talking to me. And Miss Fernie, I can still see, saying, you come back here after 5 o'clock and you can talk to Mervyn all day and all.
Wasn't he an insurance man?
That's right.
Yeah, he was an insurance person, came to talk to the men, but it was their working time.
Yep.
So she told him to come back after 5 and he could talk as long as he wanted.
But she was, you know, she would tell them something that she would do too, but the look on his face.
Chesterhope was about 1,600 acres plus. how much staff did you have working with you? Because you had the glass houses, you had the orchard and the extensive vegetable gardens. Who did you have doing all the work on those?
There was always a full-time gardener right up until, I can't think who the last person was. And the gardener's house was the house straight opposite the school, but they had a full-time gardener. Mm. And there was always a shepherd, two shepherds possibly.
Yes.
Most of the time. The old house that's fallen down on the other side, that was a shepherd's house. And the one that's still there now, by the expressway, that was a shepherd's house. And then there was another house across this creek that went up to the main road. The Hattaker family lived there for many years. And some of their family worked as gardeners. I don't think that house is there anymore. We lived in one house.
Yes.
And Rex Anderson lived up the road.
And he biked down from his parents' place.
There'd be three shepherds, probably, three workers, maybe four sometimes, and plus a gardener. And they used to grow big cattle pumpkins. They were way down the other side, and every year they grew these big paddocks of pumpkins for the cattle in the winter.
That's right. When these pumpkins were ready, Miss Fernie would go and take the seeds out of the...
I mean, they were huge pumpkins like that big. Got photos somewhere of our little children sitting on top of the pumpkins.
That saved feeding others food for the cattle. Yeah, cattle pumpkins they were called, but they were huge. And I think the accountant, Mr. Webb, he took one or something for a competition. That's great. I think he won it too. The more you talk, the more the memories come back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. You're loosening up now. Ross, anything you want to bring in?
Joan Fernie was always a very good supporter of the A&P show. And I think I've shown you the picture that I've got of her getting the presentation for the champion pony. Tell us about the show and the animals that you used to exhibit.
She had a big paddock of ponies at one stage.
Yeah, well, that one that I've got a picture of, it's a champion. One of the things that we outsiders realised that Joan was a very private person, but she was always good to the community. And I remember her taking the Park by Pony Club kids, my daughter being one, and taking them around the station on their ponies. Are there any other stories like that?
Yes, Miss Fernie was very kind like that, but she loved horses and she would breed them. And breed the small ones with the young ones that would come, and then they come and foal. And Miss Fernie would pick out the best ones that would be really, she would just say, well, that's a good one, that's a good pony. But she loved taking them to the show. And I used to get the job of walking around with
in the ring.
And then she had a lovely cook. They had a housekeeper cook lady, Mrs. Corliss, who lived in the little flat at the back. And we used to go and visit her quite often. She was good to our children. Mrs. Corliss, we used to call her. She was a big Maori lady. She got on well with Miss Fernie and her were mates, weren't they?
This very tall lady, Mrs. Corliss.
Yeah, party Maori lady, but she was... I think she was a good friend to Miss Fernie.
Oh, very kind. And I think I've got a pound note that Mrs. Corliss at Christmas time gave for our children. I've still got that pound note, the children.
It'd be back in the 1960s.
She was very kind.
One of the things at Chesterhope was the array of vehicles, especially cars. that you had on the station. Tell us about some of them. One was a Hudson.
Do you remember you took Mrs. Fernie to Wellington in the big Buick once? She had to go to Wellington for an eye operation and she got moving to drive her there.
The Buick was a wonderful car, and as I was driving down to Wellington with Mrs. Fernie, this car overtook me and just round by Parky Park. Mrs. Fernie says, "Mervyn, why did you let that go past you? Chase it, get past it." And I was in this big Buick straight. And here was Mrs. Fernie, a little lady, in this big Buick car. "Mervyn, why did you let him go past? Go and catch him and pass this Buick car." They brought it out from America.
And then Joan had the Hudson car, which was her 21st birthday present from her parents or her father. And of course it got run round the farm and the mudguards all rusted away with the manure that got caught in it and so forth. And eventually she gave it to Mervyn. And Mervyn repaired all the holes and the mudguards and things. And but I think somebody in Havelock still has that car, which I can't remember who came and got it. But I'm pretty sure somebody in Havelock recently asked about it. And I think the person still has it out in Havelock.
It's interesting.
I'll keep a lookout when they have that show at Windsor Park.
It's the 1920-something or rather Hudson.
Hudson Coupe, yes. And in the boot, you could put a 44-gallon drum of petrol. But I remember trying it out with Rex. I backed it down the driveway, and Rex had a sports car. And I said to Rex, "I'll try it out. You could go in front." But he couldn't keep up with the straight. And I think I got up to about 45 sound more, but it was a lot faster going backwards up the line. Yes, and that was up that drive, so I know what speed it was. That's right, Rex was checking the speed.
And when did you officially or unofficially retire?
Oh, well, when I started to get a bit sick.
Last April.
Oh, well, that's a good working life.
Yes.
He was 84, coming up nearly 85 when he couldn't go to work anymore.
Well done.
It was good. You know, you look forward to it.
Still would like to be going to work.
Wouldn't we all?
And he finds it boring at home all day. Not enough to do.
Any tours overseas?
No.
You didn't go to war? No?
No.
The war had finished.
We had the best years, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
Lucky, really.
Yeah, we were lucky. Yeah, just had the Depression. Nordmeyer's black budget.
You forget all those.
But you're in retirement now, living the life of...
I don't like it.
And what about you, Glenys? Do you like to have him at home, under your feet?
No, not really.
Not all the time.
Not really. He hasn't got enough to keep him busy. And he's looking around. He makes jobs. You know, it's perhaps should be just left alone.
Well, yesterday I found out that the spouting was... I don't know whether Glenys had put another one up. She could see that it was leaking.
Glenys touched it.
Oh, because the spouting was out there, and I thought, oh, well, I went and measured it.
No, you put that spouting out there years ago. You used it for running the water out of the swimming pool across to the sump hole.
Oh, so I thought, oh, well, I'll have to go and get a new lens. But I found that I only needed another 10 feet, if that. I could place, but I haven't got round yesterday with the rain and that.
Come on, you farmers are tough. You've worked in the rain as well. You used to come in and tell us townies that. I don't believe half of it.
I'd much prefer to still be going to work every day than sitting at home. It's quite hard. I think he finds it hard just being around all day with no animals and no tractors to get on and mow the grass, no animals to go and check.
Yeah, they were good animals.
Merv was, those of us that knew him a little bit, were very aware. He just liked to work all the time, and during lambing and that, he'd be at work every day of the week looking after the stock and keeping an eye on the place.
7 days a week it became, just because he wanted to be there.
But Miss Fernie was just as, she'd work right along beside you. I remember between the, well, the 12 weeks, Miss Fernie would draft up some of the cattle. They would be left in a paddock through the winter time. They really would come up because it was a paddock that had nothing, no stock. It was teated down. It was called the plantation, that's what it was, the plantation. And I remember Miss Fernie and I went down. It was in the winter time. They were in good condition because they were in the plantation. And Miss Fernie said to the stock agent, "How much will you give me for that? What's the price on that line?" And the stock agent says, "Such and such a price." And Miss Fernie said to him, little short, Miss Fernie said to him, "You know how you come in through that gate? Well, you just turn round and get back through that gate, and I don't want you on the property." Because he was tearing her off, wasn't giving her a fair price. They were beautiful cattle. Yeah, you turn around, you know the gate you come, go. Don't come back.
As I understand it, Merv, there were other stations, Timahanga and two or three others, that were involved or connected and still owned by the Fernie family. Did the stock, they were bred in those places and then they came to Chesterhope and you just finished them off. And yes. Then in the early days they walked, and now of course they'd have to truck them to the sale yards or to the freezing works. Is that how you ran the operation? And did Malcolm do a lot of the buying and trading? Is that how you worked it?
Yes, yes. Malcolm, he actually seen the stock. He'd go up to the sale yard to see what price they were bringing, and he made sure that his price...
got a good price.
Mm-hmm.
And the stock came from Moeyingi mostly? Yes. Well, yeah. As far as I know, it
yes.
all came from Moeyingi to Chesterhope and then to the works.
Mm. And then we replaced them from Mungatapiri out at Havelock. I remember when I first went there, Mrs. Fernie and myself would go out to Mungatapiri, and this, I can see the man too. He loved the firewood. He was the manager out there. I think it was an Irish. I can see the man and can't put, but Mrs. Fernie, she would come and check them over, but I don't think she really knew what was going.
Joan Fernie was yeah. always referred to.
And who was Malcolm that you're talking about?
Malcolm MacDonald is the trustee.
Very nice chap.
He's one of the trustees, isn't he?
Yes.
Still alive?
Yes.
He organises all the stock that comes and goes and gets sold and that sort of thing. You could, I suppose, call him the stock agent.
Yes.
Chesterhope.
He lived in Hodgkinson Road, along from where you lived originally. Right next door to the Fernies, and the family became very friendly with Joan and they had a lot of interaction.
Malcolm's father worked for Chesterhope for a while. Malcolm's been involved in Chesterhope since he was a schoolboy, at least. I know that when he was at primary school, he chopped the kindling wood for the fires and that for Mrs. Fernie. So he's really had, he basically knew them all his life.
And he lives in a house with a little orchard on it along Pakua Road between the store and the bridge.
This is all getting very, very interesting.
And I'll just add to that that I only found out a short time ago his family, the McDonald family, lived way, way over the other side of Chesterhope. There was a house up there on the riverbed, and it was a house that was like a watchman's house. When the floods were coming up, it used to flood over the bank, and the house was there to come and warn them the river's coming up. Now, I've just found out very recently that Malcolm's family lived over in that house when he was a baby, when he was just a little fellow. They lived way across Chesterhope in that watchman's house.
Then they must have bought that orchard in
Hodson Road, yeah.
Do you have any memories of when the motorway went right through Chesterhope? I know at the time it would have upset the Fernie people because it divided their farm in half. Do you have any comments on that time? You must have been well involved with the fencing and the stock.
Miss Fernie died of a broken heart over that. She told us, she said she
Her beloved farm that she'd put so much into was divided in half.
The farm was split in half.
I didn't think about putting a tunnel underneath the road like a lot of the places down in the Paiatua area.
They looked at that concept.
There is a tunnel under the road.
By the creek, isn't there, right down the end?
Mervyn would know. I have never seen it, but Mervyn uses
it. Yes, that's the end where we are.
It's big enough to get a tractor underneath and drive.
Run stock through it. But to do the deal, the roading people would have paid a fair price for the land. They had to construct big deer type fences and replace a house, sheep and cattle yards, shearing facility, and put a very adequate bridge in Franklin Road, which would have cost a lot of money, but it was all part of the deal, getting that motorway through, which is chock-a-block day and night now.
Okay, well, we've had a fair bit from you, and I think there's a lot more hidden there in that brain of yours. We've probably sown the seed for you to think about. You and Glenys have got a great history in there.
Had some great memories.
Well,
yeah.
There's not much to do with me. I didn't have much to do with Chester.
But you were in love with him.
Well, you kept him going, didn't you? You did his smoke-o's and his...
I made the lunches until in the later years he had to make his own. I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to make lunches, though. His own food to take.
If you think of things or stories, get a little notebook or make a note, you know, so it'll jog us next time, because there'll be stories like the one about the stallion, you know, and there must be other stories.
Mervyn told a few stories at Miss Fernie's funeral, which I think he regretted afterwards. Felt like he maybe shouldn't have been telling stories at that particular time. But I can remember the story about her checking the sheep over for cut marks and nicks and things like that, you know.
After shearing.
Well, when you think of the Pakua Road, how...
The bridge across the river now...
The Nowra.
That wasn't there when we were young. You had to go down into the dip.
That's right, over there, I remember that. And when it flooded, you couldn't get home.
No. And I mean, around where I lived, we flooded there from time to time. It came up Hodson Road. And I mean, the water was right, just about ready to come into the house. Every 2 or 3 years, there'd be a flood.
And you think of coming along the Pakua Road, how the trees grew along there.
Yeah,
people
was Poplar Avenue that people would, you know, appreciate. I mean, that was quite a nice road with the poplar trees on either side.
But a lot of people wouldn't know.
Farming land.
You wouldn't even know trees were there, and that was the way to get to the works.
That's right.
But they were good days.
They were.
And then sometimes it reminds you, I mean, we've seen a lot of families come and go on Chesterhope. in our time, you know, families with school kids, and old Mr. Minter, he was the gardener when we went there.
Down by the school, wasn't he?
Yeah, Mr. Minter. He used to go up to Chesterhaven on a push bike. And there's a little story about that, isn't there?
I was trying to think what it was.
A cattle beast or something was on the road, and he was ringing his
bell. Ringing his bell. You could just imagine what the stop was like. Dingle, dingle. they were good days.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for your time. That's been great.
Thank you very much for your time, and thanks for your hospitality, and both of you.
You're welcome.